Pastor Chris. They've been the superheroes throughout this tragedy, coming by every day to lend support to myself, to my mom, to my dad, and my sister. They've come by the funeral home to view my brother Michael, and I can't even express the words that just say thank you to the two of them. So I just want to say you guys have been a rock in my life and my mother's life, and we appreciate your continued support through this difficult time for the family.
Thank you, Andrew. We'll be sharing those times for the viewing and funeral services in the publicist end as the time approaches that last weekend in September. It is my privilege at this time to introduce the Presbytery Executive of Southern New England Presbytery, Dana Lindsley. Dana and his wife Janet are here in worship, and I'll make Janet wave too. You can see Dana when he comes forward to bring some greetings this morning.
Good morning. Hey, you know, it's really good to be here. I don't know if you know, but I represent the 33 other Presbyterian churches in southern New England, and there's a buzz among those other churches about something happening in Providence. And I haven't had the opportunity to be here until today. And so now I'm kind of here to see and experience some of the excitement that I know is kind of permeating a number of congregations all around southern New England because of what you're doing here, both the church growth, the kind of college ministry that you're participating in, and the kind of fellowship that this congregation represents. As I look out on this congregation, I notice a couple of things. I notice that there are quite a number of people here actually who are serving in various capacities in the larger church, not just this Providence church, but in the larger church in various committees and groups and ministries in the church. And I am grateful for the service that they all give. In particular, you have in your midst Judy, who is the moderator of the presbytery, which if there's a position that's to be called bishop in the Presbyterian church, and we don't really use that word, Judy's as close as you're going to get this year to being the bishop, so you need to kind of bow to her. And if she wears a ring, you know, make sure you kiss it, I guess. But I also want to say how grateful I am as your executive in the presbytery for the mission giving of this presbytery for this congregation. You may not know this, but Providence Church gives the most per capita to Presbyterian mission of all the Presbyterian churches in southern New England. You give more to mission than any other. And, you know, when I think about what makes for vitality of a congregation, that's one thing, is being extremely involved and committed to mission. And you have done that through your long years, and especially now, and I want to express my gratitude to that. The other I want to say is you have a couple of the best pastors in our presbytery. And I'm grateful for them, and I say that to them when I see them, but I hope that as time goes on, you continue to express your gratitude to these two great saints of God who have been called to be your pastors. I think some of the vitality of this congregation is a tribute not only to you as a congregation, but to them as leaders. And I think when we hear today about the pastoral care that they've given in the last couple of weeks, I think you know that you have some special people. So praise be to God, not only for your pastor, but for the witness and life of this congregation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dana. Let us then call upon the Lord as we come together in worship this day. For great is the Lord our God, and greatly to be praised.
Thank you.
we are without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Yet even in the midst of our sin, God meets us and forgives. Let us come, confessing our sin first in silence and then together in prayer. Continuing in prayer together. God of everlasting love, we confess that we have been unfaithful to our covenant with you and with one another. We have worshipped other gods, money, power, greed, and convenience. We have served our own self-interest instead of serving only you and your people. We have not loved our neighbor as you have commanded, nor have we rightly loved ourselves. Forgive us, gracious God, and bring us back into the fullness of our covenant with you and one another, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us remain seated as we sing together our song of confession, verse 2 of Out of the Depths, which you will find in the small hymnal, number 2136. Verse 2. The mercies of our Lord are new every morning. God's covenant with us is sure. We are never lost or forsaken. Friends, forgive the good news, or believe the good news. In Christ, we are forgiven.
Thank you. be. Now is the time in our worship service where we take a few moments together to raise up prayers of joy and prayers of concern for our lives and the people that we care about. I want to thank you, Andrew, for your words earlier. We continue to pray especially for the Brown, Benson, McCarty, and Adjumong families, all affected by the death of Michael, and our prayers continue with you. Other prayers today. What's going on? What do you want to lift up in prayer? Dan, in the back.
Cancer surgery for both my brother and his wife appears to have been very successful. They're both recovering. Thank you very much for all your prayers.
Great. Praise God for that. A successful cancer surgery for Dan's brother and his wife. Other prayers. Sally.
The joy of the Nurture Committee today is to open Sunday school. You know, there is no greater joy than teaching the children of God about Jesus and about the world. And if you want to have fun, you come downstairs, you go upstairs, you play with our kids, and I'll tell you, they're the best. They're the best. Pray for the opening of Sunday school.
Thanks, Sally. We're praying for this big kickoff downstairs and for all of our teachers and the children and youth who will be learning and growing. Thanks. Next, Judy.
I'd like the prayers for a couple of our connectional church events.
Yeah.
First is for Presbytery, that's meeting on Wednesday, which I'm moderating, and Kathy Cooper is going to be getting voted on for her candidacy for the ministry. And those of you who remember our intern, Rick Vogt, he is up for examination for ordination. It's been a long haul for him.
Yeah.
And so we would like prayers not only for them, but also that the decisions we make at Presbytery are God's will. On Friday, I will be going to Syracuse for the Synod Council meeting. And though I don't have a vote, I have a voice, and I have to report on the Personnel Committee. But I would, in these times when Synod is going to have to cut back on expenses and there will be no pay raises for the workers who actually donating their overtime, mm-hmm. they are not putting that in, and it looks like they're going to have to cut back on some of the grant money that are given to Presbytery Partnership groups for missions, and so we ask for your prayers that they also make good decisions that are in God's will.
Thanks. Judy continues to be our missionary to the Connectional Church in a lot of ways. We're praying for the Synod and this council meeting as well as the Presbytery, especially as Kathy Cooper moves toward candidacy for ordination and for Rick Vogt, who's moving toward being ordained as a Presbytery minister. This is exciting stuff. Let's go back here to Kwame.
Pray for
there you go.
Pray for my friend Bless, who is going through some hardships right now.
Prayers for Bless as he goes through hard times and figuring things out. Praying for him. Mike.
Hi, good morning. This is just a brief joy to share with you guys. Yesterday we had the middle school / high school kickoff. Just a big thank you to those of you who provided time, transport, and financial support to allow almost 20 of us to have a really good time. And I'm really thankful to report that we brought back the same number of people that we left. Giving us and, you know, trusting us with your children to go on roller coasters.
Thanks, Mike. Great joy for yesterday's kickoff with middle school and high school ministries at Six Flags. All right, let's come around over here. Okay, Jill, shout it out. Thanks, Jill. Prayers for Buddy, as well as for your sister-in-law. I always do that. Your stepmother. Dick, let's go here next. Yeah.
Being a Calvinist Presbyterian clergy from the Bronx, I'm
Thanks, Dick. We're keeping in prayer today, especially Vietnam vets and vets of all sorts with the myriad of issues that they face. Thank you for raising that, as well as the health care, something you hear about in the news every day, something we continue to pray about and look to action through politicians and in our society. What will happen next? We're praying for that and hopefully acting. Thanks, Dick. Others? Yeah, Mark. All right, project it. Great. Thank you, Lucy. welcome to the Weber family. Extended, great to have you here. We're celebrating this baptism today. Suzanne.
My daughter, Ariel, has had to give up her apartment in Brooklyn, could not find work. If you go by my house, you'll see a big Penske truck in the driveway. And so we're already making changes. Truck has not been unloaded yet. We're already changing things in the household, so it's going to be a lot of fun, and hopefully she'll be able to find something here that will pay. Give her a job.
Thanks, Suzanne. Continue prayers for Ariel, home from New York, and seeking the next step in life. Other prayers today.
Let us pray. At the heart of your love, O God, is your care for your people, a covenant of faithfulness which can never be broken. We give thanks, O God, this day for the gift of each day. Help us not to take it for granted, for your grace and guidance in leading us ever deeper to discipleship, in comfort and in care are abundant. We give thanks that you call us to you, that we might ask and grow and seek and learn and lift our prayers to you for this community and unto the world. Bless, O God, this community as it enters into a new church year of mission together. We give thanks for those who have answered the call to teach and to learn, to seek and to grow, to reach out in love and in fellowship, and for those you are bringing ever to us, as well as those we have yet to find. We give thanks, O God, this day for our connections to the larger church, for Dana and Janet's presence with us this day and the ministries that we share, for Presbytery meeting on Wednesday with Kathy and Rick as they come before that body. May all that we do as your people represent your will. We pray for the synod meeting and the council decisions ahead as well. Our hearts, O Lord, continue in grief for the losses we have felt this summer in this community and beyond, for the families of John, Lydia, and Michael. Surround them with your grace, and may our love reach out to all those hurting places. We pray for those who are ill and in the midst of treatments, for those prayers spoken and unspoken, for Brooks, Uncle Buddy. We give thanks, O God, for answered prayers, for signs of healing in Dan's and Jill's family. We pray, O God, for those that are at milestone and turning points in their lives, for blessed in hard times, for Lucy and her family near and far here to celebrate in baptism, for Ariel and her family in times of transition. We give thanks, O God, for our continuing relationships with community organizations, with the International Institute, and our refugee relationships with Camp Street and college ministries reaching out into a hurting world. We pray, O Lord, for our world and for the needs of veterans and the opportunities before us to make meaningful change in healthcare, for the coverage of those that are lacking in that need. May our prayers be actions for justice and human rights wherever you would lead us. We remember and pray for the needs of our world. Give us grace and energy to be a church in mission, ever ready to share your love and grace. Guide us, O God, into the deepest places of discipleship and trust in you, that we may be emboldened to share your hope and promise for the world and for this community. Teach us to live as you lived amongst us and to pray as our Lord himself taught us praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I would like to invite all the children to come on forward at this time. Come find a spot here in the front pew. I see you out there. Come on down, all the children. Come on over.
Hi.
Not you. Yeah. You can come and find a seat. Come on in. Come on in. Yes. Mason. Yeah. Come on over. Hey, guys. Come on down. Come on down. Ethan and Cameron. All right. You guys can come. You can scoot a little bit there, Nathan. Come on down. Come on down. You can find a seat right here or on the bench. Either way. All right. Well, anything new happened this week? You guys go anywhere? Anywhere? You got some new toys? Anything else happened this week? Yeah, what happened with you?
Went to school.
Did you carry anything like this? A backpack? Yeah? Well, I brought my backpack. This is my old school backpack here. I wonder what's inside. Let's see what we've got. What this is?
It's
a hole puncher. Okay, here, you want to hold on to that for me? Thank you. Let's see, what else do we have? Something more dangerous? What else do we have? scissors. Who's the biggest kid of them all? Young. Hey, Dad. You want to hold on to that? What else do we have? What's this? Scented marker. Smells pink. I don't know what color that is. Good. All right, hold on to that. What else we got? Tell me about this. Tape. All right, hold on to that for me. You got some tape. What else do we have?
Calculator.
Calculator? Yeah, you want to hold on to that? Okay, take a look. A little calculator. We got all kinds of stuff. So all these things, you know, we're going to school. Let's see, what else do we have?
A book.
What kind of book? A Bible? Wait a minute. You don't bring a Bible to school, do you? Usually? Not really. That's strange. What do you think?
But you read a Bible at school.
You could read a Bible at school. That's right. You could. Where else? You might. Church school. Nathan, you're helping me out today. Thank you. That's right. You know, today we're going to a different kind of school. It's called church school. And it's on Sundays, and it's meeting downstairs, and it's a place where we don't necessarily use calculators and tape, but we do get to read the Bible, we get to learn about Jesus, we get to learn about God and have a fun time. It's going to be so much fun down there, you're not even going to want to come back up. But I hope you do, because your parents are up here. So, today's the kickoff of Sunday school, and every week, as you come to worship, we're going to send you downstairs for a great time to learn and to have a good time together. So let's pray together, and then I'll send you downstairs, okay? Let's pray. God, thank you for the opening of church school. Bless all of these children. Bless the teachers and all who seek to learn and serve in this place. Send us out, we pray, to follow you. Amen. Amen. You're welcome to go downstairs. Can I have my stuff back? Thanks. Children through fifth grade are invited to go downstairs, and sixth, seventh, and eighth graders can go upstairs for their class with Mike and Courtney.
Very nice.
Oh, thank you. I lost something.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's Old Testament lesson comes from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. This can be found in your pew Bibles on page 63 and in the large print Bibles on page 82. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. The New Testament lesson today comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. This can be found in your pew Bibles on page 4 and in the large print Bibles on page 5. Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
I'm glad all of you have turned off your cell phones this morning because I don't want you to see the time. We are running right on schedule, I assure you. It's a morning like this full of the life of a growing congregation that fills up the space so that the time moves along so quickly. But here is a chance for us to take a few moments in the midst of it all, to turn again to God's Word and to understand it a little bit more for our lives. So as we begin, let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. Well, it seems to me that the fall is a time for getting organized, isn't it? All those back-to-school sales that you see in all the stores, they're heavy on things like storage bins and file folders and labels. As teachers return to classrooms, they quickly organize their space. As students return to school, they have to organize their time. And it's the same for families, isn't it? The pull of scout meetings and youth groups, music rehearsals and sports practices means that getting organized is a necessity this time of year. Are you getting organized these days? I hope so. Whether you use a BlackBerry or a desk calendar or, like me, an old-school pocket planner, we all need to get organized. We all need to figure out how are we going to manage our time. Let me see a show of hands. How many of you started school in the last couple weeks? Who started school? Yeah, got to get organized. Okay. How many of you have children or grandchildren who started school in the last couple weeks? Okay. With all these new things, school year, new jobs, new residency programs, volunteer opportunities, and other activities all starting up here in the fall, it's imperative that we get organized. As we kick off our church school calendar year this morning, there's been a lot of organizing going on around the church, and I want to tell you about it. You may not know this, but Dan Blackford, our church administrator, has a brand new office, which is right here behind me in the space behind the sanctuary. You can take a look after the service. It's kind of a cubbyhole to match the other side, where we also have an office. His old office, which is upstairs in the upstairs classroom, we've transformed into a comfortable setting for our middle school class, our high school class, and other adult Bible studies to use. And next door to that, in the other classroom, we're in the midst of remodeling it, remaking it a little bit, so that parents of small children will have a place to go when that toddler is screaming or that little one won't sit still, and they feel like, I don't have anywhere to go to still hear and see the service, to still participate in what's going on. It's under renovation. We're looking forward to having young parents be able to be upstairs with their little ones in the next couple of weeks. The church continues to grow in so many ways, especially among these infants and children and youth. In the next 5 months, we expect 5 births, so we're trying to get ready for it. The committees of the church, your church elders and pastors, we're preparing the way so we can offer a full welcome to all these little babies that are going to be in our midst. Are you ready for it? I hope so. We hope that all of these organizational changes will help us better to serve our Lord Jesus Christ in mission and ministry. Because that's the point, isn't it? Of all the stuff that we do as a church, from worship to fellowship, from mission to advocacy, from preaching God's Word up here to teaching God's Word to those little ones downstairs, all of it comes down to what Jesus called the greatest commandment. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Loving God and loving others. It's pretty simple, and that's what we're trying to organize around. It's our organizing principle, if you will. As we fill up our agendas, as we schedule our activities and prioritize our time, our primary priority as a church, both as a church and as individual believers, is to put God first in our lives. To find a way to let God have that first place in our lives. So that's what I want to talk about today, and that's how I want to frame our understanding of the beginning of the Ten Commandments. It's about putting God in the proper place, which is first place in our lives. You know, when I told my wife Lisa who's not here this morning, thankfully, that we were kicking off the fall with a Ten Commandments sermon series. She gave me a look like I had asked her to kiss a banana slug. Oh, the Ten Commandments? Oh no, what will those new people think? What will those visitors think? That we're kind of wacko. And she has a point. You know, these days it seems the only time you're hearing about the Ten Commandments anywhere is in a pretty negative light, when they're bringing out the worst in people. Whether it's protests down in Alabama, whether it's hate speech out in Kansas, it seems like the Ten Commandments are constantly on the negative side of life, rather than bringing out the positive, bringing out the life-giving and affirming love of our God. But it didn't start out that way. The Ten Commandments weren't always that way. You remember the story. God's people, the Hebrews, they were in slavery down in Egypt. They're being worked to death by Pharaoh. So God called Moses and said, "Moses, lead my people out of slavery, through the Red Sea, into freedom." And so that's what Moses did. But the freedom that they found there in that inhospitable wilderness territory was confusing. Because back in Egypt, Pharaoh had made all the rules. Pharaoh told them what to do and when to do it. And now here they were in this land of freedom, and they weren't sure how they would organize their life together. What kind of people would they be? What kind of values would they have? It was a chaotic situation, and it's out of that chaos that God brought order. You know, it's one of the great themes of the Bible, how God brings order out of chaos, and we see it here again. God gives the people what's called the Decalogue. Can you say that? Decalogue? Decalogue. It's a Greek word. It means the 10 words, or the 10 commandments, which was the basis of their life together as a people. 10 commandments, 10 words. And it was so important that they memorized it and they knew it so well because it functioned in the center of their life together. And that's how it is for us too, right? We know the Ten Commandments. Maybe not. Let's find out. Take a moment here. Turn to someone next to you. Don't tell me. Turn to someone next to you. How many of the Ten Commandments can you come up with? Share for a minute. See how many you can name. That wasn't a very long conversation. Some were done pretty quick. Okay. There aren't that many commandments. Come on back. Well, I'm not going to ask you to report in. I don't want to know how many you came up with. I don't want you to feel bad. It's okay. Maybe by the end of this Ten Commandments sermon series, we'll get it a little more straight, won't we? And actually, we shouldn't feel bad anyway, because even among Bible scholars, did you know, there's great disagreement about what makes up the Ten Commandments, even as you were discussing which ones are which. Same with the Bible scholars. From the traditions, from the different traditions of Jewish tradition, Roman Catholic, and Protestant, there are different ways of numbering out the Ten Commandments that we find in Exodus chapter 20. Different ways of dividing it up. So let's take one example, this first commandment, which we're looking at today. It says, "I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." So what's the first commandment? Is it, "I am the Lord your God"? Is it, "You shall have no other gods before me"? Is it some combination of the two? Or does it even matter? I wonder. John Calvin, that great reformer and theologian of our tradition, says, "Whether you make the first sentence a part of the first commandment or read it separately is a matter of indifference to me, provided you allow it to be the preface for the whole law." The statement, "I am the Lord your God," is the preface for the whole law. It's the jumping off point for all the other commandments that come after it. "I am the Lord your God." More of a statement than a commandment. This is the first principle for organizing life together, putting God at the beginning point, putting God in first place. Calvin goes on to say that God chooses to have sole preeminence among God's people. Sole preeminence, first place, That's what this is all about. I wonder if beginning the Ten Commandments in this way, by saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, is a little bit like saying, I am your mother. And I was in labor with you for 20 long hours. You better listen to me. Is it a little bit like that, I wonder? Whatever comes after that, you're going to listen up to. Amen? Amen. Here it comes. God is claiming a unique position that no one else has in our lives. I am the Lord your God. Keep me number one. So, the reason I think that this is such an important message for us in this organizing season is that we're right now setting our agendas, aren't we? Setting our priorities, figuring out what comes next in the coming months. And you know what? Our jobs, they want to be number one. And our classes, they want to be number one, college students. And families, our kids and their activities, they want to be number one. Even church meetings, as fun as they are, they want to be number one. All of these things are vying to be first place in our lives. But they can't have it, because God claims that place. That's the first commandment. Keep God first. There's an English poet named Alfred Noyes who once wrote, "The universe is centered neither on the earth nor the sun. It is centered on God." And that may be the case, but that's also hard to do, isn't it? To keep our universe centered on God. Because you know as well as I do that there are all these things pulling us away from that center, claiming our time, claiming our loyalties. But you know, that's exactly when the claims of God are strongest on us. When we recognize our own failure to live up to those commandments, our own inability to make our own way, it calls on us and pushes us to rest in the promises of God. You know, Mount Sinai was not a destination that the Hebrews were moving toward. They weren't on a holy pilgrimage. They didn't even know where they were going. They were wandering aimlessly. But Sinai, the place where the Ten Commandments was given, was a place where they happened to be when God's word came to them. Sinai was the place they happened to be when God chose to reveal something to them. I wonder where you happen to be this morning. As you hear this word for your life, this first commandment to keep God in first place, where do you happen to be? Well, one of the places you happen to be is here in church. It's a good start. Making time and space for worship in your life is one way of keeping God in first place. This summer we had all kinds of visitors, and they would sign in on the visitor pad. It was great, coming from Florida and from Texas and from Michigan, all over the country. I loved it. They were on vacation, and they came to church. They came to worship their God, even on vacation. What a commitment they had to putting God first place in their lives. And this fall, this is our opportunity as well. As we reorient our schedules, signing our kids up, signing ourselves up for all sorts of things, what is the space that we can make? What is the step that we can take to keep God in first place in our lives? My prayer for you and for myself this week as we go out is to find out what that looks like for each of our lives. Amen.
Let us stand and affirm our faith using the traditional Apostles' Creed. It's printed in your bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
seated. This time I'd like to invite Mark and Susan, Lucy, and your family forward. And Judy, thank you.
Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, to the end of the age. Obeying the word of our Lord Jesus and sure of his presence with him, we baptize those whom he has called to be his own. In Jesus Christ, God has promised to forgive our sins and has joined us together in the family of faith, which is his church. He has delivered us from darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. In Jesus Christ, God has promised to be our Father and to welcome us as brothers and sisters of Christ. Know that the promises of God are for you. By baptism, God puts his sign upon us and upon you to show that you belong to him and gives you the Holy Spirit as a guarantee that sharing Christ's reconciling work, you will also share his victory. That dying with Christ to sin, you will be raised with him to new life.
Susan and Mark, in presenting Lucy for baptism, you're announcing your own faith in Jesus Christ, and you're showing that you want her to study Jesus, to come to know Jesus, to love and serve our Lord Jesus. Show your purpose by answering these questions. Are you ready? That was the first one. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Do you trust in him?
Do you intend Lucy to be his disciple, to obey his word, and to show his love?
And this question is addressed to Lucy's larger family. She's looking for your answer. You who are here today joining with Mark and Susan and Lucy, do you promise through prayer and example to support and encourage Lucy to be a faithful Christian?
We do.
This question is addressed to the congregation. Our Lord Jesus Christ ordered us to teach those who are baptized. Do you, the people of the church, promise to tell this new disciple, Lucy, the good news of the gospel, to help her to know all that Christ commands, and by your fellowship, to strengthen her family ties with the household of God? If so, say, we do.
Let us pray. God of grace, we thank you for your faithfulness promised in this sacrament and for the hope that we have in your Son, Jesus Christ.